Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Josh Liebner and Gershon Mader are consultants, speakers, and founding partners of Quantum Performance, Inc., a leading-edge management consulting firm with Global 1000 clients, including Capital One, Cisco, Prudential Financial, Cushman & Wakefield, Zurich Financial, The United Way, and many others. They are co-authors of a new book published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association, entitled The Power of Strategic Commitment. Welcome to Edgewise, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Josh, let's start with you. Why do so many strategic initiatives fall short of their objectives?
There are many circumstances and reasons. Executives point to why strategic initiatives fail. Circumstances beyond their control. There's a phrase we've heard recently, exogenous factors. But for the most part, from our perspective, those are not the true source of the issues. Mm-hmm. The source of the issues, in most cases, can be found in ineffective internal organizational dynamics. By that, we mean lack of collaboration, lack of communication or effective communication, lack of alignment around decisions, lack of direction, capital expenditures. And these are masked so that executives have to explain things by virtue of things that they don't have any control over. So many initiatives fail because the internal functions, manufacturing, finance, sales, customer service, don't collaborate. They blame each other for what goes wrong. There's infighting, there's turf protection, there's egos, there's baggage. It's all about who's going to get credit or who's going to be to blame if things don't work.
So in a nutshell, it's inflexible, inept processes, and it's office politics.
Yes, and it has to do quite a bit with the willingness for people to come together. Because if you have processes that aren't perfect, no organization has perfect processes.
Yeah, I want to find out about that company.
Me too.
That would be a good case study.
It only exists on paper.
Right.
Even when you have very good processes, if people don't trust each other, if people don't work together, if they don't pull together, if they haven't come together around a clear, compelling future that excites them, a perfect process won't substitute for a lack of those things. So how do you get, starting with the top, a team to get the hallway issues, we call them the hallway conversations, on the table? How do you get them to work together, to focus, and to really be able to drive together towards a common future?
Exactly. Gershon, is it really possible to get everyone in the organization to fully commit to a future direction or objective?
Absolutely. Not only is it possible, it's critical, particularly in today's environment where things are tough, but let's just talk generally. What it takes is leaders need to understand what are the principles and what are the levers and how do they actually generate that kind of a commitment. One of the things that I want to just add to what Josh said before is if you talk to managers and leaders today in businesses, they all understand the importance of commitment, but they really don't understand or they don't know how to generate it, or they underestimate what it takes to generate it, or they come from an old school that says, if I'm your boss and I pay you, you're supposed to line up and get committed to the things that I tell you we need to get committed to. And that, in fact, is not the way life happens in reality. In reality, if leaders want to generate total commitment in their organizations, they need to be really oriented around two dimensions. One dimension is the content of the strategy, and the other dimension is the context of the strategy. The content of the strategy, and there's a lot of common sense in here, by the way, is making sure that everybody in the organization has the same type of understanding and interpretation about the directions. In so many organizations, when we talk to managers about the strategy, you get multiple of different interpretations. You talk to one manager, they say, yep, we're all clear, we're going right. And you talk to another manager, they say, yep, we're all clear, we're going left. And it's a typical thing that we see all the time, and people are not on the same page about it.
Right.
There's two drivers that leaders need to really understand. One is clarity, making sure that everybody is clear on the content and the direction and the objectives. And the second thing is validity. Not only does everybody understand things the same way, but also that people believe them in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
The context is making sure that there's an environment in the organization that really is cohesive, aligned, where there really is trust, there's honesty, there's openness. Because if leaders come together to talk about the direction and they don't have authentic honesty, they're not going to say what's on their mind. When they make a decision, they're not going to stand behind it. They're going to say whatever the right politically correct thing is and then just go away and do whatever they were going to do anyhow.
All right. How do I, as a mid-level manager or even a leader in a company, bring about this trust?
Starts with courage on the part of the leader of the organization, whether that's the CEO, senior vice president, or whatever level, first they need to understand if all they do is touch content, craft some pieces of paper and some slides that set the vision for the organization, and then have the communications people distribute those, that may get 10 to 20% of the way there. That's better than not having anything, perhaps. If they don't address the context drivers, if people don't trust them, if there are things that have happened in the past where executives have not followed through on commitments they made, people will nod yes and feel and believe no. And their actions, what they do on a day-to-day basis, will be consistent with what they truly believe. Mm-hmm. So leaders first need to understand that the cost of not addressing context issues is the future that you're espousing. Once they recognize that, and they have a sufficiently strong environment in which they can put real issues on the table, it doesn't have to be perfect, then they can start creating that environment with their teams.
I agree completely with Josh. Any organization is a reflection of its leadership team. When you walk around organizations, you see so many leadership teams who are dysfunctional, who are not in communication. People don't trust each other, and there's an insufficient level of alignment. They don't resolve issues. They complain about things. At the same time, you see a lot of these kind of leaders and leadership teams who are preaching to their organization that we need to come together, we need to work together. If people don't see the leadership team being a role model, the game is over.
It doesn't ring true.
It's hypocrisy. If the leaders understand that everything has to start at the top, then they first invest in themselves and making sure that they really are committed to being sincere, to being courageous, to being competent and caring about their people. And when their leadership team has got to a place where they now have an environment where they are addressing things authentically and they are in communication with each other, then they can approach the middle managers. The middle managers are a very critical aspect in any positive change of an organization, because these are the guys who have been there forever. These are the guys who know what's going on. These are the guys who often feel frustrated that the leaders only do things politically and they don't care about really what's going on down with people working. So they need to get the middle managers on board. And when they do that, they've got to appear as really not having anything to hide, as if they're really open to change and committed to change. So they've got to not be defensive. They've got to have a dialogue with their middle managers. And then they need to make some commitments around how their behavior and how people's behavior will be different. They need to make some commitments around what is the future that we're all going to take on together. And they must promise to be open and demonstrated over time that they really are open to feedback, that they really are open to ideas.
Yeah.
Even the most skeptical people we have found, if over a little bit of time, see the leadership team, the leaders and the CEO actually demonstrate what they talked about, they will get on board. Mm-hmm. And that's when the entire organization is on the same page with the commitments to the objectives.
I would imagine it's not you wake up the next morning and guess what, I'm trustworthy.
That's right.
It's a plant. It takes a while to grow.
There are certain deliberate practices that one can pursue that will help to build trust.
How do leaders keep focused, energized, loyal, productive, whatever, when the markets are soft and they're cutting expenses and headcount and investments? Why is it more important now than when things are great?
I think, first of all, that it's very, very critical in these days particular for leaders to take on as one of their major priorities to make sure that they energize the commitment, the ownership, the loyalty of their people to the organization. This is their role. This is their duty. This is their responsibility. Fundamentally, like in life, there are two different attitudes that could exist in an organization. One attitude is the attitude that is negative, that is gloom and doom. The mood usually is that people feel that they're victims of the situation, victims of the circumstances. And that leads to a lot of excuses, a lot of stories. People don't express themselves. They become protective. That's one dynamic of attitude.
Right.
Another dynamic of attitude is where people keep looking at what's the opportunity. They are more positive. They look to see where can they be the source of their own energy and their own outlook and their own positive attitude. In that environment, people keep looking at, okay, how can we make the best of this? What is the opportunity now? How can we think outside the box? How do we bring some innovation that wasn't there before? How can we now address things that in good times we could afford to avoid? The role of leadership always is to promote the positive, the empowering mindset in their organization. But in a time like this, 100 times more. When the physical resources, budgets, headcount, expenses, travel are scarce. You've got to tap into the human, the mental, the leadership resources, which are always abundant. And that is the role of leaders. That's why you generate a vision and a purpose for a company. You generate it in order to guide people, to anchor people, to cement people's relationship to the game in good and bad times. And in bad times, it's that much more important.
That's definitely true. Can you elaborate on that?
The role of leaders is now to focus people around their vision, around the purpose. What is the opportunity? How do we make this real? How do we live this? How do we do more with less?
Right.
Unfortunately, leaders do the opposite often. What they do is when times are tough, they abandon the perspective of igniting the organization around a purpose, and they go to the bottom line. People then become means to an end. They become overhead. Even when they cut people or then lay people off, they don't communicate. We hear left and right these days with companies talking to managers and employees who are walking around and feeling like the company is just cutting people. They don't understand exactly why. It makes no sense to them. It feels that the management is just in survival and it's not taking care of the longevity of the company. So again, if you go back to the first thing we talked about in terms of the key drivers of commitment, no clarity, no validity. People are not bought into the cuts and change. They don't feel that the leaders, care about them or that they have the courage to have straight conversations about what's going on. And all that leads to a deteriorating culture. The role of leaders is to keep orienting their organization around a future orientation, not a past orientation. Vision and purpose are a very powerful way to do that. And unfortunately, it's very missing today.
Josh, do you have an additional comment?
Yeah, there's two great examples these days. There's a recent article in Fast Company with John Chambers of Cisco Systems, who was talking very much about the need for collaboration in his organization. His whole belief is if you can get people to come together, they'll save money, they'll save time, they'll win customers. And now's the time to take market share. Now's the time to leverage whatever assets you have, whether they're brand or cash or balance sheet, to exit this environment that much stronger.
Exactly.
Collaboration is all about how do people get together, deal with real issues, communicate honestly, and deal with exactly the kind of thing we're talking about.
Sure.
Apple's another great example. They have a very clear vision of making insanely great products. They are taking market share. Their revenues are up. And if you look across the PC industry, that is not the case.
I think that many of the big companies, the well-known ones for sure, ultimately they'll all stick around. I think the issue is, in what shape will they be on the other side?
Exactly. People will keep their heads down and they'll get through this.
Yes.
The market will come back.
That's
this
right.
Recession will end. Mm-hmm. Companies will rise from the ashes. And the question is, will they have any true believers sitting at
That's
the
right.
desks or on the plant floor or whatever? Or will these people take this opportunity to leave a company that really didn't commit to them?
That's right. While people will now not rock the boat, and they will not leave because it's insane to leave now, you can't find another job. When everything equals out again and the market gets in good shape, the resentment that people are accumulating in this time, feeling that their company neglected them and abandoned them in the time that was most important, that will go a long, long way. And unfortunately, leaders do not look at these symptoms that we're speaking about as leading indicators, but these always are lagging indicators. And by the time they show up, it's too late. It's a bit like the stock market. Often when we speak to leaders, when we assess their organizations and we see that their organization is suffering from lack of alignment and commitment and engagement, they look at the scoreboard, which is the stock price. They say, no, we don't have a problem. Everything is going well. But then when things turn around, these are lagging indicators, not leading indicators. It's too late then to make a change.
Right, exactly.
Second thing is, a lot of those who won't take care of everything we talked about during this tough time will look back and say we wasted 2 or 3 or 4 years solving some things that in good times we could afford not to.
We've been speaking to Josh Liebner and Gershon Mader, authors of a new book, The Power of Strategic Commitment. Their website is www.quantumperformanceinc.com. Gentlemen, thank you for being on Edgewise today.
Thank you very much.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.